The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. This is one of the most powerful gospel passages. I say that about all of them, don't I? But it's not what you might expect to hear on Christmas. You would think you'd hear the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, which we heard last night. But the gospels testify to a growing development of our understanding of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit after the death and resurrection of Jesus. What we believe today is now the first gospel. Mark, it's the shortest and the most primitive, begins with the earthly life of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus. But the early church debated and wondered, when did Jesus become God? And we know that that question doesn't make a lot of sense to us Christians, but the early church then debated about that and discerned through the Holy Spirit. And Matthew tells us and Luke tells us that even from birth, Jesus was God and Lord. But the Holy Spirit caused us and guided us to even think deeper. That if he's truly God, it wouldn't just be born in time, but must have existed before time. And so we hear from John that the Word of God was God, which became flesh. And so this child, this celebration today, Christmas, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, light in the darkness. And we celebrate Christmas, as you know, on December 25th. The origin of that date is interesting. Many people know, and it's probably partially true, that it was a pagan feast in the winter solstice, the shortest time of the year, and Christianity Christianized a lot of culture, pagan culture, but there's more to it than that. You see, at first, the church never celebrated Christmas that much, or the birth of any people, because it was the death, the birth into heaven that we celebrated more. And so Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection were celebrated around Passover or Easter for the Christian church in late March and early April. And it was a Jewish tradition that great people would actually die on the day they were conceived. And so we started to think of the conception or the around the same time Jesus died, which 9 months later, from March 25th, would be December 25th. And so this becomes the origins of our Christmas. And John the Baptist, we know, was born 6 months prior to Jesus. And so you have a very happy coincidence, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit, where John is born into the world at the longest day, and Jesus is born into the world at the shortest day, the summer solstice and the winter solstice. Because Scripture tells us, and John testified, that I must decrease and he must increase. And so from the birth of John, his light is decreasing. From the birth of Jesus, light comes into the darkest time of humanity. And from then on, it increases and brightens our world. And so these are some of the significance of the Feast of Christmas, but also more. The birth of Jesus, again, was not at first celebrated as much as the death. Because it is by his death and resurrection that we are saved and we gain eternal life. But if Jesus is truly God, this saving event began sooner. And at Christmas, we realize the humility of God, who was all-powerful, everlasting, beyond time, to enter into our human brokenness and sinfulness, to make God's self, who was all-powerful, vulnerable, to be subject to our sin, our hatred, on the cross, and to respond to that as God would have us all respond to sin and hatred, to respond to sin without sinning, to respond to hate with love, to respond to insult with pardon. God did that and showed that this is more powerful, that love is the everlasting, and through the resurrection, triumphed over sin and death, brought our salvation and forgiveness, and shared it with us. And so the incarnation is the beginning of the whole saving event and can't be separated. God in his riches joins us in our poverty, so we who are poor may be made rich in Christ. God in his divinity joins our humanity, so we humans may be caught up and join the divinity of God, or eternal life. It's called the Great Exchange, and it's a wondrous and marvelous event we celebrate today. Going on about 1,000 years later, it's time of St. Francis, and you know we are Franciscans, you are Franciscans, this is a Franciscan church. In Francis's day, they celebrated much more the high Christology, Christ the King, Christ all-powerful, Christ coming at the end of time, Christ who might also invoke fear and distance. But Francis saw in God, in Christ, the humility and the poverty that God showed to come into the world. And Francis loved Christmas and called it the feast among feasts, because it reminded him of the poverty and the poor Christ and the humble Christ on which he based his life, and saw Christ present in even the most insignificant person, because God being born into our world makes all of us significant members of his body. And so he loved to celebrate Christmas. And 3 years before his death in the town of Greccio, you know this manger scene is very famous today, right? But it didn't exist in that time. And Francis wanted to celebrate with great festivity Christmas. And so in the hermitage where he was staying, there wasn't much room. And so he invited the people of the town to prepare a cave. and bring animals and make a live manger scene, and then to place a baby in the crib right above, right below the altar. And so imagine in the cave the whole scene of the animals with the hay and the baby. And Francis, who was a deacon, would preach. And every time he would preach and try to say the name of Jesus, he was so overcome with emotion, he would begin to cry and would only say, "The Babe of Bethlehem." And then one person from the crowd testified that as Francis lovingly bent down to talk and honor and adore the child Jesus, the child came alive. And a biographer says, "So it is fitting that it was Francis who awoken in our hearts the presence of Christ who was sleeping." And then after that celebration, when the Mass was celebrated above the manger, people took hay back to their homes, and the hay had healing properties. Those who were giving, mothers who were giving birth in difficulties, their childbirth was eased. Animals who were sick became well. And this scene symbolizes and reminds us today of the significance of this Christmas and every Mass. Because Francis saw in the Eucharist the continuation of the Incarnation, God truly present with us not only 2,000 years ago, but through all space and time today. And as we take it into ourselves and then bring it back to our families and our communities, it brings healing by our acts of love. And so every day that we celebrate the Eucharist is Christmas. And Francis wanted us to remember that, that God's incarnation is always present with us. And so in our hearts, when we pray and open our hearts, when we receive the Eucharist, we are made infinitely valuable by God's presence. And every person, no matter what they may appear to us, shares that same dignity and should be treated that way. We bring Christ to others as we receive him in our hearts. You know how it says, you hear it a lot, keep the Christ in Christmas. Remember, Christ is the center of this celebration. Well, Christmas is actually Old English for Christ's Mass. And so I say, not only keep Christ in Christmas, but you have also kept the Mass in Christmas, the perpetuation of the Incarnation. Every day is Christmas. Let us let that child grow and be strong and loving in our hearts. May it heal us so that we may bring Christ to others. Merry Christmas.